Gareth Southgate. Harry Kane. You're a wizard, Harry. Welcome to World Cup Today. Kevin Larme with Dwayne Rollins, as always. Welcome to the England, well, no, Tunisia versus England podcast. This is a not safe for work podcast. We are not responsible for anything that happens in the next 45 minutes. Welcome to World Cup Today, Dwayne.
I'm never responsible for anything that I do or say. But football is coming home. That's my first point.
Home. 3 points. It was fucking hard. I said it was going to be not safe for work. I meant it. It took 91 minutes to get a second goal.
You know, England won, man. 3 points is not really what they typically do. Kevin, before we continue, for the long-time ICF former listeners, I just have one thing to say right now, and that's grass to BMO, and let's continue.
Let's continue. It started off pretty well. England started off playing pretty decently, getting the connections, getting the chances, getting the opening goal, but then a phantom penalty. For the life of me, I know we talked by text and you told me you thought it was a penalty, but I still can't see it. I still don't see where did Kyle Walker fucking did a foul. He's just there. The red-headed Tunisian just runs into him, falls backwards. There's a penalty.
Well, yeah. Well, first off, why is there a redheaded Tunisian?
But well, apparently, there's a lot. There's a lot of blonde Tunisian too. I was told on Twitter that Kevin, there's a lot of redhead. But like, geez, that doesn't make sense.
And there we go. No, look, the reason I think it was a penalty, it's a penalty by the letter of the law. It's not a penalty I want to see called, but it's a penalty by the letter of the law. We see that with VAR and MLS all the time. The whole touching the face thing. His elbow hit his head. That's why it was a penalty. You never see it called. But it's hard to argue, based on the laws, that it isn't. If there's a foul in the box, it's a penalty. So there we go. Yeah, but it was just dumb. Like, I mean, do we really want to see that stuff? Like, yeah. Can there be some kind of half measure that allows people to not give a 80% goal chance for fouls like that? I don't know. Like, it's frustrating.
It changed the entirety of the game, and it made for the entirety of the second half. For some reason, I don't know why England came out with less energy than the first. It seems like Tunisia had more possession in the second half. And England was running at the ball, trying to get it back. And it took a lot of damn freaking work, fucking work, to get the ball. And even the goal. It took a bouncing ball with a second assist. And then it gets to Harry Kane, and he heads it in for a second goal of the game. Harry, you're a wizard. Thank you very much, Harry Kane. Harry Kane, 2 goals for England. I don't know if you agree with this, Wayne, but... as far as Harry Kane goes, will England go?
Well, you know, he's their best player. You know, the question I have for listeners and yourself is whether he's better than Wayne Rooney at his peak. Because ultimately, yes. Wayne Rooney, who was the star of that team, was never good enough to take them over the hump. So is Harry Kane then?
What is Harry Kane's commitment to the game? I'm going to tell you this. When you look at Harry Kane, when you look at Harry Kane's commitment over the last few years, when you look at his training regimen, when you look at his day-to-day life, that commitment, that discipline, those sacrifices towards the game, you can tell them right away when you look at him play. Can you say the same for Rooney? I bet you a donut you can't.
Well, donut, that's apt. Yeah, no, I think that the thing about this English team, and I was talking on Twitter a little bit with some people earlier today about this, and I think I might have mentioned it in the morning show, is that they don't have that same sort of hype around them. And I think that that's a good thing because, let's face it, England in terms of talent is probably around 10, 15 in terms of the overall talent in this World Cup. They're right in the middle. But that doesn't mean that they can't do well because teams that play a disciplined style, that play committed, can, you know, overachieve their overall talent level. I'm not sure England has ever played that way. They've always played like they're Germany. They're not. I mean, Germany lost, so maybe I shouldn't use Germany as the example. But
they're not Brazil. Oh, wait, they draw too.
And well, Switzerland's going to Switzerland, so what are you going to do? But, yeah, look, I joked on Twitter that it's going to be amazing when England wins the World Cup because people are going to lose their mind and all the jokes are going to be done. I don't think England's going to win this World Cup, but I do actually, the more I watch this World Cup, think that there is a chance that an outsider could win. Today sort of demonstrated that. Although what I will say about the England game today, Kevin, is that, yeah, they got the win, and that's amazing, and it was so not England. But they were really static in that second half. They didn't look very good, but then Harry Kane rescued them, so here we are.
Yep, they did not look very good, and what was Raheem Sterling doing on one of those ball in the box? What was Maguire doing in the box for the half of the game? I did not get it. Why is your one of your three center backs in the box all the time? I did not get that one. But there's a few moments of missed chances for England. The amount of time we've seen Sterling lose the ball, or Dele Alli losing the ball in the box with maybe the winning goal at his feet. We've seen this. It's a game of missed opportunities, and the second half was terrible for England. When you look at it, Tunisia was able to get the upper hand on the possession, but the lack of pressing was very obvious for England in the second half, and it took an adjustment during the second half to lead to the late second half of the game, stoppage time, then there's pressing, then there's turnovers, and then there's more chances on goal. But yeah, it took a lot more work than I anticipated. If you would have told me 20 minutes into this game that it would have been 1-1 at the 87th, I would not have believed you, because England had, what, maybe 10 chances in the first 20 minutes? So yeah, they only got that one goal, and well, after the first half, what I told myself was like, yep, this is really England. They had a lot of chances, only scored once, got the goal, the equalizer from the other side, so it's not looking good. I've seen this movie before, and it doesn't end well.
It's not your first rodeo. No, Raheem Sterling is a very good player. That's put that out there, but he is an infuriating player. Partly why he gets so much flack is because he is so talented and sometimes frustrates you. The other part of that, we know why, and we're not going to go there. But certainly, it's infuriating to watch players like that, because and it's infuriating to watch England a lot of times, because they don't seem to be living up to what their expectations are. But then I always go back, and I have this thought that goes through my mind, and I say, okay, well, let's break this down. Is England really a favorite in this tournament? Is England a contender in this tournament? Or are they a team that...
It's a dark horse. Right? It's a dark horse. And the fact that Germany lost their first game and Brazil drew their first game, this was a make-it-or-break-it situation for England, saying, look, there's a chance of you winning your first game, setting up yourself being equal with Belgium at the end of the group, probably, or we'll see. But even if you finish second or first, you might have Germany or not, or Brazil or whatever, but there might not be as good as you imagine. So it feels a bit more open to me just because of the loss of Germany and the draw of Brazil with Switzerland. For some reason, I feel this World Cup is open.
No, for sure. I mean, when you look ahead, if you want to go chalk here for a second, England,
it would have been Germany in the quarters.
Germany in the quarters. They're not anymore.
No, not anymore. Not the fact that Germany lost their first game. That means Germany have to be really efficient to make it out of the group.
It might be World Cup champions Mexico that they have to
play. Viva El Tri.
Well, honestly, though, for a second, humor me here for a second. Has there been a more impressive performance in this World Cup than Mexico so far? I'm not sure there has been.
No. Belgium today, maybe. But 3-0 versus Panama.
Panama, though.
Yeah, I know it's just Panama, but how much is that 3-0 victory worth? One of those goals was kind of almost offside by Lukaku, if you want to truly be honest about it.
No, by kind of, you mean it was, but yes.
It was. I was trying to be... VAR took a look at it, and it didn't say anything, so I was erring on the side of caution here.
The funny thing about VAR in this tournament is it's both delaying the game and actually not reversing calls. So anyway, but
yeah, like England and Tunisia, they reversed the call for the penalty. But on the other side, when there was a handball in the box for Tunisia, yeah, where was VAR for that?
Or the clear penalty against Argentina. Yeah, a lot of strangeness. Yeah. it's been weird. I mean, speaking of Argentina, when you're talking about England right now, I mean, you can talk about how they didn't look great in the second half, and it's true. But at the same time, Argentina didn't look great for vast amounts of that game. And then, you know, they got a result, which wasn't great, but they got a result. So they're still in this. I mean, the contenders, it's a weird World Cup. As I said a moment ago, and I'll repeat it again, this is wide open. There is more parity in this thing than we've ever seen before, which makes it very difficult to handicap. So on that note, if you're an England fan, again, I don't think they're going to win the World Cup. Let's not think that I'm insane here. But
I thought it was coming home.
Yeah, well, the football's coming home, yeah. But what I will say is it's possible.
You're saying there's a chance?
All right, you ready for percentage?
1%.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go. I'll go 2, just to irritate the Canadian Women's National Team fans that are listening. Sorry, guys.
Oh, yeah, and by the way, I want to say hello to all the fans that come in and said hi when I was at the bar tonight. That was actually today, whatever. Day drinking is so underrated. I'm having so much fun at the bar tonight. But by the way, thank you to a few listeners who came and said hello. That meant a lot. It's like you're in a bar in the middle of nowhere in Montreal. Like, hi, listeners are dropping by saying hi. Hello, guys. That was fun.
No, that absolutely is fun. Real quickly, my favorite story for a podcast. I'm going to tell a story right now.
Martin? Sorry. I didn't mean to say the name. Are you telling the story I think you're telling?
Well, no, I wasn't going to tell that one, but I'll tell another. I'll tell that one story at some point. Martin and Vancouver and Mexico versus Canada. But in terms of people that listen to the show, and I really appreciate when you come up to me, but it always gets a little awkward because who the hell am I? Anyway, I was watching the Real Madrid friendly once. You're right. With my friend Mike, and some guy walked up to Mike, who was with me, and pulled on his sleeve, and he said to Mike, and I was 2 feet from him, "Is that Dwayne Rollins?" And then Mike started to laugh and said, "Yes, it was." And then he shook my hand. It was, you know, I felt like a movie star that day, so it was very nice. So if you're listening, friend, thank you for that. It amuses me to this day.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's exactly how I felt. I was like, thank you. And then there's City TV, which is a television channel in Montreal with like big camera and the microphone. It's like the 39th minute. They're coming. "Hi, sir. Would you like to be on TV? Would you like to talk?" I'm like, in the middle of the game? What are you doing? Get away from my face. I'm trying to watch television.
They just wanted you because you have a French accent and you were cheering for England.
Get out of my vision. I'm trying to watch Harry Kane become a wizard.
Well, it reminds me, in 2006, I watched the World Cup opener in Calgary. I happened to be in Calgary, and I've told this story before. It was impossible to find a bar. There turned out there was one bar in the entire city that was open for it. And we're in there, and in 2006, at this point, it's not quite like it is today, but I didn't think it was still novel that people liked soccer, but all of the news crews came in and were filming us like we were like animals in the zoo. It was, anyway.
Yeah, you have like a window on the street. Yeah, it feels pretty much like an aquarium or a zoo. You're right. I cannot say that I did not feel like a fish in the aquarium today.
There you go. Yeah, soccer. Anyway, it was good.
Like this beautiful game, though. Like this was amazing. Like we'll barely touch on Belgium Panama. Belgium won 3-1, 3-0, 3-0, 3-0. That's it. So let's continue with England and Tunisia. But yeah. That 3-5-2, 3-5-1-1, 5-3-1-1, whatever you want to call it, was it efficient for England today? Did England, yes, clearly miss a lot of chances in the first half and could have put a few goals past the keeper that dislocated his shoulder by himself on two separate occasions that I did not understand what was going on. But moving on. Could England done it better in the second half, in the first half?
Hell of a save by the keeper. You know, if you're going to go out by injury in the World Cup, you'd make that button. Well. I know they scored after, but the save was amazing.
Might as well go all out. Like, you know what? My right shoulder's sore. The left shoulder seems okay. I'm going to make that dive and mess up my left shoulder. Heck, I'm going to leave out a champion, at least a martyr or something.
I once played an entire game with a broken wrist. So there you go. I'm tougher than the Tunisian keeper.
Technically, you're tougher than Mo Salah. That's something for tomorrow.
Or stupider. It depends on really your perceptive here, but perception here.
That's fair enough.
Could England have done more? Look, as I said, static is the word I'll use. They weren't moving off the ball. I was talking to a guy beside me at the pub I was at, and that's what we kept saying. Like, they're just standing there. Like, they're just standing there in their lines, and that's always kind of not always, but it's sort of been England's issue that they don't seem to move a lot. So I was a little confused by that. But look, here's the thing. They won. Harry Kane is a very talented player, and he managed to, and it was a great header by Stones as well to set it up, but he managed to get the finish. So there you go. And like, if you're an England fan, then really all you have to look at, all you have to focus on is the fact that they got 3 points. As we said with Germany, you don't want to read too much into this stuff, but you have to, because there's only three games. A win is a win is a win.
And their next game is Panama, and that game has become, well, it doesn't become, it always has been important. But you get a win against Panama, you're moving out of the group no matter what happens against Belgium, right? And that's what you want to have. You do not want to have your game against Belgium, meaning if you're coming out of the group or not. You do not want the result of your third game to dictate if you're moving on. If you get a win against Panama, which is probable. Is Panama better or worse than Tunisia? It's hard to tell. But if I'm just going by my whole CONCACAF versus Africa adage, Panama might be a bit better than Tunisia, so it's not necessarily a given, but you beat Panama, and you're moving out of the group no matter what.
I think Panama's worse than Tunisia, but, you know, any Canadian fans
listening, I was trying to be
nice
to CONCACAF brothers.
It looks like what Panama looked like today. I mean,
yes, you're right. It's true. I was talking about this, and they're like, if we make it, well, yeah, we're not going to win a game. We'll be lucky if we score a goal. But that's something else.
You know, maybe Blue will sign, and, you know, who knows. Anyway.
And maybe 2026, there's 48 clubs anyway, so we're playing, like, I don't know, Liechtenstein in the group stage.
Quick story. When the night, you know, after Canada, you know, U.S. and Mexico won the right to host the 2026 World Cup, I was texting with someone in Russia that was at the event, and they happened to be with Alfonso Davies, and I'm not trying to, you know, name drop here, but they were in the core, they were partying to celebrate this thing, and the last thing I messaged him was, well, hand the phone to Alfonso and have him call Baloo right now, and then he didn't respond to me, so there you go.
Yeah, and during that time Baloo was in the Montreal Impact locker room, because that's where he was last Wednesday. He was in Montreal. I saw him in the locker room. I was like, Baloo, come here. And by the time I got to him, he was locked himself into an office. I'd be like, nah. All right.
Yeah,
I tried.
You want to ask him, so yeah.
he knows me. He knows I've been having one question to ask him for weeks and weeks. I've been talking to him for 3 years. I was one of his first scrum back in the time when he was playing for FC Montreal and was so shy I could barely get a word out after a game. That was a long time ago now, 2015. But yeah, Baloo, come on. Just give in already. Like, come on. Ivory Coast is not going to qualify. Ivory Coast is not qualifying for 2022. Nor they are for 2026. So you might as well go with the team that will be there. Anyways.
Yeah, well, that's I'm sure this is a topic that we will talk about again in the future. Look, you know, the Panama game, Belgium, was Belgium good or was Panama bad? I don't know. I think,
well, Belgium was decent. You had a great run, a few great runs by Eden Hazard, a great finish by Lukaku, the one with a foot, the one with a header, the great goal by Dries Mertens, and it was just at least reassuring for Belgium fan, but it wasn't a test at all. Like, the only test in this group is probably going to be England in the last game of this group. But outside of that, Belgium will probably walk all over Panama, Tunisia, like they did over Panama.
Well, yeah, and it's going to, you know, the England-Belgium game obviously is going to be the one that decides this group. But in many ways, it doesn't really matter, because if you look at the draw, the second place team actually has, now that Germany might not be in there, might have a more favorable draw anyway.
Because the first team of this group might play the second team of the group with Germany in. So you find yourself playing maybe Germany in the round of 16, which is a team that, even though they might be struggling after one game, you still don't want to face in the knockout round until you have to, like in the semis or the final.
No, you know, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's the thing. That would be an interesting. I mean, that's always the funny question when you're looking at a situation like that, when you know that a win is actually going to give you a more difficult opponent. But what do? Like, no one's going to blow
you.
Well,
you know what they say, he who chooses worse, they say, or something similar to that. So maybe you just need to play the games and heck what happens.
You just go out and win. I mean, you just go and win. That's the bottom line.
Like, that's one game in. We're talking about this after one game in. There's still two games to play.
Oh, well, the second round starts tomorrow. Russia, there you go. Which is actually very well positioned, but anyway.
Russia, Egypt tomorrow. What else? Senegal, Japan. No, Colombia, Japan, Senegal. Who else are they playing? I don't know. It's been so many teams, so many names. It's like all blurs into each other now.
Is it Russia, Uruguay, or is it Russia, Saudi Arabia?
Russia, Egypt tomorrow. It started Russia, Saudi Arabia, 5-0. Tomorrow is Russia, Egypt. And technically, we're supposed to see Mo Salah tomorrow. But color me skeptical for a second, because, well, guess what? You told me that 2 days before the first game of the group stage two. And there was no Mo Salah. So until I see Mo Salah, I won't believe Mo Salah's going to play.
No, well, no, absolutely. Did you hear the Ramos shade that he threw after the Champions League final? He said that all Mo needed was a shot, like a needle to play the second half. So he said, I don't feel bad because if he got a shot, he could have played. Ooh, there's some serious shade with that.
That's some serious thing. Dude, if you could be a bit more tough and handle pain a bit more, you could have played this game and maybe efficient and maybe have your team won the Champions League. That's kind of what Ramos is saying. But look, it's Sergio Ramos. Are you expecting anything else? Are you expecting to hand delivered roses to you and your loved ones when everything happens? No. You're expecting him to stomp on your grave and kind of take liberties with it. It's kind of what he's doing.
Now that Nigel de Jong is kind of at the tail end of his career, is Sergio Ramos the most hated footballer in the world?
I guess he is. Oh, Luis Suarez, maybe.
Donadel?
Like, come on. We're talking about different scales here. You're talking about Donadel, like, here in this small little bubble versus Ramos in this, like, huge bubble.
I know. I was just joking. I wanted to get a little bit of that rib in there. No, Ramos is. Here's the thing with Ramos. There is not a single fan on earth, a single team on earth that would not want him on his side. Brilliant footballer.
Yeah, he's the Sean Avery if you're a New York Rangers fan in hockey. Even better, though. Like, there's no equivalent. Sergio Ramos is good for your back line, and he's good because he's getting other people's heads. He actually literally will injure someone else and get your team an advantage that way without even getting a red card. That was a brilliant performance in hindsight.
Well, Sean Avery actually had a rule change made immediately for him, which is a remarkable accomplishment. Get your bingo card out. We're talking about hockey now. But yeah, has any other athlete in the world ever had the league change the rules in the middle of a playoff series before? I'm not sure.
It is a pretty impressive feat, I have to say. But Sergio Ramos, what he's doing over the years, and the fact that it's not something new, it happens, what, on a yearly basis? And we'll see what happens with Spain in the group stage. He's still not, who knows what he could do in this World
Cup. I said a minute ago, Kevin, that I thought Mexico might be the most impressive team we've seen in this group stage. I'm actually going to back off that a little bit and say Spain might be. Spain looked really good in that game.
But that game was weird, though.
The error was what caused the draw, but they looked amazing in that game, as did Portugal. But Spain looks the real deal.
How much can you give to a game that started off with a penalty 4 minutes in, though? That changes the entire perspective of the game, right? It changes the entire dichotomy, the entire mentality of the game on both sides. If you're Spain, you're 4 minutes in, you're already a goal down. You're already changing your tactics. So as much as that game was fun to watch and was impressive on the response of Spain and getting Nacho to get the go-ahead goal, and eventually there was tied with Ronaldo, because Ronaldo's pretty much a god walking on this earth. But outside of that, I don't disagree with you that Spain was impressive. But you take out the goal that came out in the fourth minute. What happens in this game? Is there an actual team that settles down and dominates possession and creates chances going forward and keeps putting chances going forward, keeps possessing the ball? I truly feel that because of that penalty 4 minutes in, which, let's be real here, it's a non-safe forward podcast. Ronaldo took a nice dive there. Yeah, there was a foul. I'm not saying there wasn't, but he still took a nice dive. 4 minutes in, that changed the entire game.
No, for sure. I mean, amazing game. God, that game was so incredible. I'm just shaking my head even thinking back to it. But yeah, there were a lot of sort of errors and mistakes to it. And you're right that being down a goal 4 minutes in is absolutely going to change things. I was very impressed with the way that they played that game. And, you know, if Ronaldo's not on the other side, they win that game pretty easily, I think, against a pretty good Portugal team. So they really have it. You know, you look at all the favorites. Germany lost. France was kind of mediocre. They got the win, obviously.
Technology. Love VAR/goal line technology. 3 points. That is. Exactly.
There you go. Yeah. No. Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, they're all millennials. They're all born in like what? Fucking 1996. I can't believe that I'm older than 95% of the players that are playing in the World Cup.
I remember 1996, so yeah.
I remember 1998 too. I remember exactly what I was doing. I remember being in high school, having like a little thing for France and discovering the World Cup. Be like, oh man, this is going great. This is going well. Damn right, we're winning this thing. Francophone watching RDS in 98. Yeah, it was great times, great moments. I was what? 4 year of high school. Jeez, it was easier back then. No responsibilities, no rent, no nothing to pay for. You're hungry, you just open the fridge. Yeah, that was fun times.
Well, people in the province here living in Kevin that were born in the year 2000 can drink right now, so there you go. Yeah, we old.
I could drink in 2000. How about that?
You know, as could I. We won't tell you. We won't talk about my age. No, look... I don't know. I mean, to speak a little bit about the rest of the day and what we're talking about to get this back on the soccer front, I have a lot of thoughts about this. What I came about, I was more impressed by Belgium, but I'm not sure what to make of Panama, who I think might be 1A, 1B with Saudi Arabia, with the worst team in this league. And good for Panama for being there. I mean, look, as a Canadian that barely remembers 1986, and you're a Canadian who doesn't remember 1986, we would kill to lose 3-0 in the World Cup. So good for them for being there, but they just didn't look very good. Like, this is a team that probably would have been better 4 years ago. I mean, Armando Cooper plays for them, for God's sake. So there
you know, you're not wrong, and I agree with you, and I'm not going to say anything else, but I can't say that I agree, because then it would not reflect well on Canada, because I remember Canada versus Panama games that were not necessarily easy for Canada just to get a result, right? So as much as I agree with you, I kind of want to stay delusional a little bit and imagine that Canada would have done better, even though they might not have 100%. But color me delusional for once.
Would they have done better? I'm not entirely sure.
No, probably not. They probably would have done worse. But you know what? Maybe with luck, would have been in the same group as Saudi Arabia, and we would have got a win. But anyway, we're just talking about bullshit here. It's moot point. We're not in here. U.S. either. Italy either. See you in 2022.
No, fair enough. I was talking to some American fans today, and maybe I'll just put this out there again. What happened on that last day of qualifying in CONCACAF is one of the strangest days I've ever watched in this game. And obviously, the U.S. has to take a hard look at everything. They should.
Do you expect TNT to score a goal from 30 yards out?
Well, like, they also scored a goal in that game that didn't go in. So that, you know, that's be...
goal line technology, the lack of thereof, cost a goal to the U.S. there. That's true.
No, it was a perfect storm that caused the U.S. to miss this World Cup. And we're worse off for it. I mean, the Americans are interested in the World Cup. I kind of miss not having them there because they're fascinating to me. I mean, as I said before, I'm Canadian. I don't cheer for them per se. I don't cheer against them either. I know them very well, and I watch them with a lot of interest. And it's kind of sad that they're not there this time. But that day was insane. Like, you will never see another day like that. The perfect storm happened to have them miss. Right. So
the few result, the Panama result with the goal late in extra time by Roman Torres. First of all, Roman Torres, the biggest player in the 2018 World Cup. Yes, he still has a six-pack, but the six-pack's pretty big, so still weighs a lot. So he's still the heaviest player in the 2018 World Cup. But yeah, that night where you seen Panama score a late goal, get the result, and TNT get the draw, and costing the United States a spot. That was a crazy event, crazy night that we'll maybe never see again in CONCACAF or any other places. But still leads us to this point where England got the fucking win, and that's all I care about.
Rule Britannia. Britannia rules the seas. There you go.
This one was for England. Three Lions. Just for you, fellas. 3 points.
Never shall be slaves. Yeah, we can go on. It was a good result for them. They got the win. That's all that really matters at this point. As we've said a couple times already, what do I say on soccer today? Points on the border, points in the pocket, and they have a point in the pocket.
Points on the table. 3 points in the pocket. Yep, exactly. And on that note, I think it's time when and I go for a nap. It was a long day. We'll be back tomorrow. This was our first double duty day, and it was because England, because Rule Britannia, because God saved the Queen, because Three Lions. Harry Kane, you're a wizard. You scored 2 goals. We love you, and we will see you tomorrow. Have a great soccer.